We're doing a series on First Things First. But well, I want to tell you something, though. Have you seen those ads on Ancestry about doing your family DNA? I did that. And I discovered Alt is German. And the original Alt came over in 1732 on the ship Davy. And he was German. But I don't seem to have, I have 1% Eastern European genes. Just 1%. I have 73% of me is from Great Britain area. 6% is Irish. I had no clue of that. So if you want to know why I'm always ready to get into an argument and a fight, why it's the Irish. But 20% is Scandinavian. My great-grandparents came over from Norway 120 years ago or so, 130 now probably. So I have that Norwegian part of me, and I married a Scandinavian, Swedish and Danish. If you didn't know that Norwegians and Swedes could get together, it can happen. So I want to start out by telling you a Norwegian joke. I have a right to tell that. And Ole and Lena, if you've ever been to Wisconsin or Minnesota, you know about Ole and Lena. And so Ole, there's a whole bunch of stories about Ole, but I'm going to tell about when Ole was just ready to die. And he was laying there in bed, and Ole said, "Oh, things are getting fuzzy. It's hard to see. Lena, are you there?" "Yes, Ole, I'm here." What about the boys? Are the boys here?" "Yes, Dad, we're all here." "All of you?" "Yes, Dad." "The girls?" "Yes, Dad, we're here too." "Everybody's here?" "Yes, Dad, we're all here right beside you." "Then why is the light on in the kitchen?" Well, that's funny, but... In real life, it is not funny. In real life, it's not. Because it shows what's really important to Ole, getting the lights off, see. But that's not the important things of life. And we're doing this series on first things first. Putting the most important things in our life first. It's one thing to say this is important. It's another thing to walk it out in our daily lives. And that's what we want to see happen. We began the series. Where is it? Okay. We began the series with Jim speaking on seeking God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the rest of the stuff will take care of itself. And then Jim or Glenn spoke on honoring God first. Our bodies is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we need to honor God with our lives, with our bodies, with all that we are. And today I want to talk about sharing Jesus first. What is most important to God? What is his passion and his burden? It's sharing Jesus. That was what was on Jesus' heart when he spent his last moments with his disciples. And we want to read that passage. And I'd like you to join me, and we'll all read this together. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Going then, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Lord, I pray that you will help us to understand this passage and to live it, to walk it out in our lives. Please, Lord, do that. Grant us fruit. Fruit in our families. Fruit in this North Country. And fruit to the ends of the earth. Use us as your instruments to make disciples. Amen. Well, the command then is make disciples. That's the main verb in the passage. It's in the imperative, do it. It's a command. The command is make disciples. Now, most translations say go and make disciples. Go, if you'll notice, I translated here going as a participle, and that's what it is. And it gets its tense, its focus from the main verb. So there is a sense in which it is, yes, we're commanded to go, but what we're really commanded is, well, I'm from Indiana. In Indiana, we'd say, being as you're going, make disciples. So the point is, wherever you're going in life, whatever you're doing, make disciples. Now, there are those of us whom God will call to go out into the world. I understand, I'll break tell a little secret here. We're thinking of a short-term missions trip to India this year. And I hope a lot of you will seriously consider being God's instrument in going to India, making disciples. We have sent people from our church literally all over the world, to every continent in the world, for making disciples. God's wanting to do that in our church. And look around at one another, and maybe the people you're looking at, or maybe the one that's doing the looking, God's going to call to go and make disciples in the world. But if you're not called to go to Timbuktu or Bongo Bongo, you're still called to make disciples. The North Country. I remember doing some statistics studies back in the 80s, and there were the percentage of evangelicals in Russia was greater than the percentage of evangelicals in the North Country. That's scary. I think that's changed a little bit, but I don't know. But there's a lot of work to be done in the North Country. So we are to make disciples, but we are also, as we go, wherever we go, to have that passion of making disciples in our lives. It needs to be a part of our daily life. And the idea of reaching the world needs to be a part of our vision. If we don't go there, we at least need to be praying about that and supporting that kind of work. And I get excited about our missions budget that we are supporting the preaching of the gospel all over the world. That's an important part of our budget. So we are to make disciples. But what exactly is a disciple? A disciple, the Greek word, means a learner. And it isn't just learning information. I know you college students, you're there in academia and you have a major and you sit under this professor and that professor and you're learning all these courses and the focus is on the material. But in the ancient world, it wasn't just about the material, it was about the person that was teaching you. It was a mentor. And to be Jesus' disciple is not just to learn about Jesus or learn information from Jesus, but to learn Jesus. Scripture says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the desires of it. We're to put on Christ. Paul says to the Ephesians, but you did not learn Christ this way. He talks about the world and then he says, that's not how you learned Christ. It's not learning about Christ, it's learning Christ. It's having a relationship with Jesus Christ where he comes and makes you, through the Holy Spirit, creates in you a new person. And you are a new person. You have a new identity, a new character, and you're predestined to be like Jesus in character. not in authority, but in character, like him throughout eternity. And so that's what we grow into, is to being like Jesus. And it's this connection that is public. It's like when my wife and I got married, we invited family and friends. We wanted people to know we were getting married. She changed her identity, her name, from Carlson to Alt. To give up a Swedish name, that takes a lot. A Danish, I'm sorry, S-E-N. A Danish name, I stand corrected, yes. But to give that up. But we have a public marriage, and that's our relationship with Christ, is to be public. It's a public commitment. I remember a college student some years ago who prayed with a roommate to commit her life to Jesus Christ. And she was having trouble with lots of doubts whether or not whether or not that really worked for her. And we were talking, and I said, you know what you need to do is to make that public and start telling people. She did that. And all of a sudden, wow, yeah, I am a Christian. You don't hide your marriage, you make it public. And you make it public through baptism. The word baptize is actually a transliteration of the Greek word baptizo. It's not a translation. Baptizo means to dip or immerse. And that's how Jesus was baptized. He was baptized in the water. It says coming up out of the water. To come up out of, you have to be down in under. And it's this public picture that you are identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he died, they buried him. And then on the third day, God raised him from the dead. Likewise, baptism paints that picture. I'm dead with Christ, and I'm a new person in Christ. The old me isn't around anymore. I'm a new person in Christ, and we need to make that public. And it needs to be something that we, in our minds and our hearts, are totally committed to. I'm now a different person. I don't have to live under that old guilt and shame, and I don't follow those old ways anymore. I'm a new me. It's a public commitment, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father who created us, who loved us, who sent his Son for us. It's Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, who came to live a sinless life and then pay the penalty for our sins. And the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent into our hearts, that we could be born again, that we could be a new creation, that we could be given the guidance and the gifts and the power to be different and to make disciples. Jesus said, one of the last things before he ascended, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. And it's that power of the Holy Spirit that makes us into witnesses for Jesus Christ. And a disciple is somebody who's ready to obey Jesus. It's not just somebody who learns what Jesus says and goes to church. It's somebody who's ready to obey. You don't have to know everything Jesus said. You have to know enough about Jesus that you're willing to obey him and follow him. Where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. It's an old joke. So, what are some practical steps that we as individuals, as a church, can take in terms of making disciples? The first one is, of course, to be a disciple. All right? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you an automobile. You have to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The idea of evangelizing, of sharing Christ, can be kind of scary, right? Am I the only one? Yes. But we have this hope that Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth. And through his presence and his power and his sovereign grace, we can be his instruments to bring people to eternal life. What a tremendous privilege that is. And you will have all that you need to be able to share Jesus Christ. So, practical steps. Number one, people are either open to the message, or if they're not open to the message, then, well, if they are open to the message, then all we have to do is share the gospel with them. If they're not open to the message, then what needs to happen is that they need to become open to the messenger. They need to have a relationship with you where they trust you, where they respect you. Paul says we are the fragrance of Christ. My wife helps me keep a healthy fragrance. Honey, it's time to take a shower. A lot of us have our non-Christian fragrance comes out sometimes. But we need to have the fragrance of Christ shining through us. We need to be people that other people will trust. We are people of integrity and trustworthiness and people that they really respect. And people aren't always open to the gospel. But we need to build this relationship with them so that when they do come to a point where they are open, they'll respond to us. That makes sense? Receptivity isn't just they're never open or they're always open. It's like this. And when people come to a time of crisis, a time of change, it can be a positive change or a negative change. College students are most open to the gospel the fall semester of their freshman year and the spring semester of their senior year. Does that make sense? Okay. And in life, when people have a baby, when they get married, when their kids leave home, all these change times, change a job, change a location, new in town, those are times when people tend to be open, and we need to buy up those opportunities, but we need to build that relationship even if people aren't open. And if they never come to Christ, we need to still love them and reach out to them and be a friend. We need to distribute grace and truth. The gospel says Jesus was full of grace and truth. He reached out and he healed people. He loved on people. He forgave people. And he preached the truth. And we need to have that same balance in our lives and ministry. We need to be people that reach out in love, that share the love of God. And also people that are ready to share the truth. People who don't know Christ first need to be exposed to that. They need to, we think that that making disciple involves coming up and hitting people over the head with the Bible, quoting Bible verses, and okay, now, are you going to come to the Lord or not? It's not like that. They need to be exposed to God's grace. And they do need to hear the gospel. They need to experience it. They need to come to church and be exposed and see people who are in love with God, be exposed to us and our lives as we're changed. They need to experience us reaching out to them at their point of need and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And then they need to respond to grace and to truth. One of the big tools in reaching people is Scripture. There are Bibles in the seats here. If you know somebody that needs a Bible, or if you're here and you need a Bible, take that one home, because we've got more in the back and we'll be putting them out. They're for giving away. God speaks to people through his word. And we need to encourage people to read scripture, to start out not in Genesis, but in one of the Gospels, and to ask these questions. And these discovery questions are being used all over the world. And there are incredible numbers of people coming to Christ who get together every week with some Christians to study the scripture, and they just ask these questions. What does this passage teach us about God? What does it teach us about ourselves and other people? And what in this passage needs to be put into my life? What can I obey personally? And who can I tell this to this week? Leave people with those questions. Encourage them to read the word. And then meet with them and talk about, well, what did you learn? And share about Jesus through sharing the word. When we present Christ, when we try and have lives that are focused on making disciples, we can run into problems. I think of Paul and Silas. In Acts chapter 16, we have Paul and Silas going to Philippi. The Holy Spirit leads them there. And they start preaching Christ, and people come to Christ, and Paul and Silas end up getting thrown in jail because they're evangelizing. And so they're here in jail, locked up, and what they do is they start singing praises to God. And the result is that there's a big earthquake, and the chains fell off, the doors of the prison are opened up, and the jailer runs to the prison. He sees that the doors are open, and so he's ready to kill himself because he knows if those prisoners get away, his life is on the line. Okay? And Paul and Silas don't run away. They say, hey, don't kill yourself. And he says, what must I do? The jailer says, what must I do? And so rather than giving an answer that relates to the prison, they give an answer that relates to his soul. And it ends up that the jailer and his whole household come to Christ. And not only that, but there's a church established there. And that church continues to be persecuted. And so Paul writes a letter to them later as he leaves the area and writes back and writes the book of Philippians. And that book has been a blessing to millions of people, including us, ever since. Because he was willing, Paul was willing, when he was persecuted, to persevere, to hang in there. I'd like Crystal to come down. She's going to share a song with us. When we go about making disciples, we can get a lot of rejection and a lot of judgmentalism. Or sometimes we just get caught up in our own fear and our own doubts and our own messes, and that interferes with us sharing our faith. But we need to have the faith that makes sharing Christ first in our lives. We need to reach out in that. And so whatever, you know, whatever's going on in your life, whatever pains or problems come out of trying to witness or are there keeping you from witnessing, we need to make Christ first. Crystal.